Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. Coming up this hour.
U.S. futures climb as China takes steps to contain the spread of a deadly virus.
Shares of Netflix gain as international growth offsets a slowdown in the U.S.
And the Saudi crown prince is said to be linked to the hacking of a phone owned by Jeff Bezos.
Along party lines, the Senate set the impeachment trial rules in a marathon first day. Plus, opening statements begin in the trial of disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Derek Jeter sails into the Hall of Fame. He got all but one vote. Larry Walker going in two. Islanders beat the Rangers. A loss for St. John's.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures rebounding from yesterday's losses. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 84, NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany is up less than a tenth of a percent. The FT 100 is up a tenth of a percent, and the CAC in Paris is little change. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 1.77%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 53 cents at $57.86 a barrel, and COMEX gold, little changed at $15.57.50 an ounce. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We begin with the latest on the coronavirus outbreak in China. Now there are confirmed cases in six locations outside China, including one in the United States. Here with the latest is Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
A man in his 30s who had traveled to China has been hospitalized near Seattle out of an abundance of caution, while U.S. experts stress the risk to Americans remains low. Still, Nancy Messonnier of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says some may be more vulnerable than others.
Older adults with underlying health conditions may be at increased risk for severe disease.
Coronaviruses cause sicknesses ranging from the common cold to some more severe. Screenings of flights arriving in the U.S. from China have been expanded from New York and California to airports in Atlanta and Chicago. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. China is taking steps to contain the new respiratory virus, starting nationwide screenings and ordering a shutdown of the city where the virus originated. We get more from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
They're going to be in regular contact with the international community about how it's developing, as well as with the World Health Organization that will be coming on site for screenings and tests. China is saying that they are cracking down on the wild animal commerce. The disease is thought to have originated from a market in Wuhan where there was interaction between humans and wild animals. Public gatherings are also being kept to a minimum. You also have Premier Li Keqiang saying that there needs to be regular and constant and transparent communication with the public.
There have been at least 440 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in China, resulting in at least 9 deaths.
Now, Beijing's move to start nationwide screenings helped lift market sentiment as stocks in Asia reversed a sell-off to finish in the green. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. An index of Macau casino stocks still came under some selling pressure as the gambling hub confirmed its first case of the virus. But Hong Kong's Hang Seng index staged a comeback after Tuesday's 2.8% drop. In mainland China, the CSI 300 paired earlier losses to finish at 0.4%. Japan's Nikkei 225 climbed 0.7%, while in Australia and New Zealand, equity markets closed at record highs. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., shares of Netflix up almost 2% after a relatively upbeat earnings report. International subscriber growth helped offset a slowdown in the U.S., though projections for user growth came in short of estimates. Dan Morgan is senior portfolio manager at Synovus Trust.
On this fourth quarter, they only did a little over 400,000 in domestic subscribers, which was a 72% drop, and yet they were still able to eke out some growth in terms of revenues. It really looks to me like they're countering the drop-off in domestic subscribers with these price increases.
Dan Morgan says some of that subscriber slowdown can be attributed to increased competition with the launch of Apple TV and Disney+.
The world's richest man is in the news. Sources tell us the cell phone of Jeff Bezos was hacked after a message exchange between him and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Joining us now with details is Bloomberg's Tom Busby. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Nathan. Two people familiar with the breach tell us the Amazon CEO's phone was hacked after Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman sent him an encrypted message on WhatsApp. Investigators found digital evidence suggesting the message contained code that led to a breach of the billionaire's phone. A year ago, the National Enquirer disclosed an extramarital affair involving Bezos that included information from intimate text messages. A security consultant for Bezos later accused Saudi Arabia of accessing the billionaire's phone before the Enquirer expose the affair. I'm Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. The World Economic Forum continues in Davos, Switzerland today. Bloomberg's Jonathan Farrow is there and caught up with Larry Kudlow after the White House economic advisor attended a bilateral meeting with the European leaders discussing trade.
Both sides agree it would be great to produce a good deal. There are a lot of issues at stake, and that's going to go on for a while.
Is the agreement with China something you could carry over to Europe? Is that an example of some of the work you could do with the Europeans?
Listen, market opening is the key. Europe has, for example, a lot of different standards for medical equipment, agriculture stuff, automobiles. They have different seatbelt standards, for God's sake.
Big barriers to entry for
right.
U.S. product.
So that's a form of regulatory protectionism.
Can you break that down?
Well, we will be talking about it.
Coming up today at the World Economic Forum, President Trump holds talks with the presidents of Kurdistan and Iraq.
Also coming up from Davos, a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Tom Keene. John joins us now with a preview. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. On today's show, we speak with Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman after a blowout quarter for earnings, plus a private equity conversation with David Rubenstein of the Carlyle Group, and we sit down with the chief investment officer of the world's biggest hedge fund, Bob Prince of Bridgewater Associates. That's all coming up at 7 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Surveillance, on Bloomberg Radio, and on Bloomberg Television. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. We're looking forward to all that coming up in just under 2 hours' time from the World Economic Forum in Davos.
Meanwhile, futures are higher. S&P futures up 12 points. Dow futures up 86. NASDAQ futures up 54. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:07 on Wall Street. And Michael Barr is here with the latest world and national news. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. After a long first day for senators at the president's impeachment trial, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's resolutions passed along party lines after about 13 hours of failed amendment attempts from the Democrats. But McConnell did give some concessions during the discussion. McConnell is now giving each side 3 days of opening statements. White House counsel Pat Cipollone slammed Representative Jerry Nadler during the deliberation to subpoena former National Security Advisor John Bolton.
Mr. Nadler, you owe an apology to the President of the United States and his family. You owe an apology to the Senate. But most of all, you owe an apology to the American people.
Nadler argued they owe it to the American people to call these witnesses forward.
The President is on trial in the Senate. But the Senate is on trial in the eyes of the American people.
Chief Justice John Roberts admonished House prosecutors and Trump's defense team to respect Senate decorum. And remember, they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body.
One reason it has earned that title is because its members avoid speaking in a manner and using language that is not conducive to civil discourse. In the 1905 Swain trial, a senator objected when one of the managers used the word pettifogging, and the presiding officer said the word ought not to have been used. I don't think we need to aspire to that high a standard, but I do think those addressing the Senate should remember where they are.
The impeachment trial resumes at 1 p.m. Wall Street time. The sexual assault trial against Harvey Weinstein begins in earnest today with opening statements in New York. Six women are expected to testify against the disgraced movie mogul. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is calling for the legalization of recreational pot as the state looks to fill a projected $6 billion budget gap. Cuomo released his $178 billion spending proposal for fiscal 2021, an increase of about 1.2% over the current year. The proposal includes a 20% state tax on marijuana. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, it may end up being one of life's great mysteries, the identity of the one writer who for some reason did not see fit to vote for Derek Jeter for the Hall of Fame he got. The other 396 votes, but he did not go into the Hall unanimously, as his teammate for 18 years, Mariano Rivera, did last year. The Yankee captain had so many great attributes, including never seeming to be nervous on the field, but yesterday was different.
This is something that I think when you start off your career, you're never thinking about the Hall of Fame. I mean, this is the highest honor that can be given to any individual that plays this game. And I was speechless. When I got the call, you know, everyone said, you know, anticipate a phone call coming at such and such time. But quite frankly, I was pretty nervous. And when I got it, I really didn't know what to say.
Larry Walker in his final attempt got in by 6 votes. Kurt Schilling getting close, received 70%. He may get the call next year. New Giants coach Joe Judge may lack head coaching experience, but not his staff. Jason Garrett's the offensive coordinator, and also coming aboard, Freddie Kitchens and Brett Bielema. Kitchens, the head coach this past season in Cleveland, and Bielema, longtime college coach with Wisconsin and Arkansas. Rangers and Islanders headed for the All-Star break. The Isles won 4-2 at the Garden. St. John's struggles continue, an 82-68 loss at Marquette. In the waning seconds of Kansas's easy win over Kansas State, a steal, a block, a taunt, and then all you-know-what broke out. Benches emptied, punches thrown. At one point, a guy picked up a chair. Lengthy suspensions are coming. Serena Williams has just won her second-round match at the Australian Open. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. So you want to go to the Super Bowl, but you don't have enough cash for the ticket. We're going for more than $7,000 on the secondary market, after all. But don't worry. You can take out a loan. StubHub is partnering with financial tech company Affirm to let customers buy tickets on payment plans. Approved buyers will be able to select plans that span 3, 6, or 12 months, with annual interest rates ranging from 10 to 30%. But it is the Super Bowl. S&P futures are higher by 12 points. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures a gain of 55 points this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are climbing as China takes steps to contain the spread of a deadly virus that had rattled international markets. While European stocks, they erased in advance amid some mixed corporate earnings. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 12 points this morning. Dow futures up 84. NASDAQ futures up 55. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. The CAC in Paris is little changed. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.25%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 1.77%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 46 cents at $57.92 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.5790 an ounce. The euro 1.1092 against the dollar. British pound 1.3063 and the yen is at 109.96. And today we're watching for a report on existing home sales at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Senate has approved rules for President Donald Trump's trial on 2 articles of impeachment. After nearly 13 hours, senators voted along party lines as Democrats failed to persuade Republicans to agree to issue subpoenas for documents and witnesses. A potentially deadly virus that first appeared last month at a fish market in Wuhan, China, is spreading fast and it has reached American soil. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed the first American case of the coronavirus, a resident in Washington State who recently returned from China. The number of cases of the coronavirus has jumped to 440 in China with 9 deaths. Derek Jeter and Colorado's Larry Walker were voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Jeter, the longtime captain of the New York Yankees and a 5-time World Series champion, missed a unanimous vote,
by just one. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers. The Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Constance Hunter joins us this morning, chief economist at KPMG. Nice to have you with us, Constance. Good morning. I want to start off with what's happening with this coronavirus that has now spread out of China and has caused some jitters in the markets in this early part of the week. What economic impact, if any, do you see from this virus now spreading to the U.S. and to other parts of the world?
So I first read about this virus about a week or so ago on Science News. And the article I read, it was the 10th of January, said that it was not spreading human to humans, that it was thought to be caused from interactions between some people at a fish market and the produce that they were selling the fish. And so that was sort of the WTO was saying, not going to transfer. And here we are a week later, and suddenly it's transferring like wildfire. So I think that has people a little bit on edge. Now, of course, if we go back to the SARS epidemic of 2003, right, that was had a dampening effect on growth. And we can look back at various the avian flu also came after SARS, and there were bouts of avian flu. So we had avian flu in Mexico, and now I can't remember the year, but I want to say it was 2008 or 2009, so right on the heels of the financial crisis. And so anytime you have a massive outbreak like this, one, the directive is for people to stay home. And when people stay home, unless they're shopping on the internet, they're not going to restaurants, they're not shopping. And so it curtails economic activity. If people become sick and they don't, and this spreads faster than anticipated, then people are missing work, and that has a whole spiral effect. So it's really important to get this under control. And now, having seen it spread to other nations, even the measures we're taking here in the U.S. to screen people off of flights from Wuhan is going to have to be expanded. So I think if the proper measures are put in place, there's no need to panic. On the other hand, it bears watching, and it's certainly an area of concern because China can ill afford to have anything slowing its growth at this point.
Now, obviously, it is early days here, but does this outbreak change your outlook for growth in 2020?
No, it doesn't change my outlook yet, but it's certainly something that I'm keeping in the corner of my eye and I am watching. And I should say that I'm not terribly optimistic on China's growth prospects this year anyway. China has a big debt overhang it needs to deal with. And I think the best case that its policymakers are going to achieve is sustaining steady growth. I think it is more likely they're going to see a slow erosion of the pace of growth, which will be amplified because in a high debt environment, all you need is a slight decline in growth to put pressure on companies' ability to repay.
Are you looking for more government intervention from China to try to sustain the growth that the country's had up to now?
Sure, but some of their measures are limited. So, for example, they lowered the reserve requirement ratio for smaller and medium-sized banks, which is where the nexus of their banking problems exist. I'm unclear that that's really going to be enough for banks to have confidence lending to one another and lending within the economy. When you're a bank carrying a bunch of bad loans, your inclination is not to increase lending, but rather to get a grip on the lending that you do have.
Only about 30 seconds left here. What are the implications of China's debt overhang for overall growth around the world?
Well, China consumes about 30% of goods in the global economy. So if you had a significant slowdown in China's growth or a sudden slowdown, this would definitely have a negative impact on the rest of the world economy. If you have this sort of slow bleed where they just notch down a tenth or two-tenths of a percentage point each quarter, it's a much less sudden impact, and it gives the rest of the world time to adjust.
Thanks so much for this, Constance. Good having you on this morning. That's Constance Hunter, chief economist at KPMG. And, of course, we're going to continue to bring you all the latest on what steps are being taken to contain the coronavirus now that it has spread out of China and has been confirmed to have person-to-person transmission. In the meantime, the steps that have been taken appear to be reversing some of the downbeat market sentiment we saw from yesterday. S&P futures are higher now. By almost 13 points, Dow futures a gain of 89, NASDAQ futures higher by 58 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the COVID Atlantis. Paradise is an island and closer than you think. Catch a flight to the Bahamas and head to the Cove on Paradise Island. Stay at the Cove, play at Atlantis. Visit the COVIDAtlantisBahamas.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are mostly higher after China took steps to contain the spread of a deadly virus that's rattled markets. The country says it'll start nationwide screenings to tackle the outbreak. Here with more is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
This couldn't come at a more critical time with millions hitting the road for the Chinese New Year. Officials to step up strict monitoring of travelers, and Wuhan, from which this emanated, has been put under heavy supervision. Confirmed cases now in five additional countries, including the U.S., and China has invited WHO experts to learn more about the virus. The government is scrambling quickly now to prevent the outbreak from becoming a political crisis. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. On top of the government measures, HSBC, Tencent, and other major Chinese companies are limiting travel and foregoing traditions around the Lunar New Year holiday to protect their employees against the virus.
On the earnings front, shares in Netflix are up 1.5%, the company delivering generally upbeat results with overseas growth helping offset a slowdown in the U.S. At the same time, projections for user growth fell short. Andre Swanston is CEO of True Optic Data.
The real competition for Netflix really starts in 2020. I do think that it's going to be difficult to tell what the full impact of all these other new solutions will truly be on Netflix in the first quarter.
Netflix is facing increased streaming competition from platforms launched by Apple, Comcast, AT&T, and Disney.
In Europe, shares of Burberry are down nearly 2%. The luxury retailer became the latest victim of the Hong Kong protests as sales in that market dropped by half over the Christmas quarter.
And Daimler says 2019 profit came in below estimates. Legal costs related to diesel emissions allegations ate into margins at its Mercedes-Benz luxury car group. Daimler shares are lower by 1.5%. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 89. NASDAQ futures up about 60. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.77%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 42 cents at $57.96 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little change. The euro, 1.1092 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get a check of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. After a marathon day, the Senate set the rules for the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. It sets a more relaxed timeline, but sticks with Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's plan to put off the question of calling additional witnesses. The rules resolution, which passed 53-47, made concessions to some Republicans who pushed for House prosecutors and Trump's defense to have 3 days to present their arguments rather than the 2 days McConnell originally proposed. Democratic impeachment manager Representative Jerry Nadler slammed Senate Republicans for voting against Democrats' amendments, allowing additional evidence and witnesses, saying it impedes their ability for a fair trial.
absolutely indefensible vote, obviously a treacherous vote.
White House counsel Pat Cipollone.
The only one who should be embarrassed, Mr. Nadler, is you.
Chief Justice John Roberts warned both teams about using rhetoric inappropriate for an impeachment trial in the Senate chamber.
I think it is appropriate at this point for me to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body.
During the long day, the senators were banned from doing almost anything besides taking notes and listening. No phones, no coffee, no note passing. The impeachment trial will resume later today. Meanwhile, President Trump in Switzerland for the World Economic Forum says his defense team is doing a very good job. Opening statements and witness testimony are expected today in Harvey Weinstein's rape trial in New York City. The disgraced movie mogul faces the possibility of life in prison if he's convicted. Prosecutors say he raped a woman in a Manhattan hotel room in 2013 and sexually assaulted a different woman in 2006. Weinstein's lawyers say any encounters were consensual. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to legalize recreational pot. Cuomo was looking to fill the state's projected $6 billion budget gap. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. We're going now to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where President Trump is holding a bilateral meeting with the president of Iraq. Let's listen in.
This mission needs to be accomplished, and I believe you and I share the same mission for a stable, sovereign Iraq that is at peace with itself and at peace with its neighbors.
All right, thank you very much.
What is the plan for flying out U.S. troops from Iraq?
Well, we're talking about a lot of different things, and you'll be hearing whatever we do, but they like what we're doing, and we like them, and we've had a very good relationship. I can only speak for my administration. I won't speak for past administrations, frankly, but we've had a very good relationship, and we're down to a very low number. We're down to 5,000, so we're down to a very low number, historically low, and we'll see what happens.
Are you still considering sanctions against Iraq?
We'll see what happens. Because we do have to do things on our terms.
We have a lot of common interests, the fight against extremism, stability in the neighborhood, a sovereign Iraq that is stable, friends of the neighbors, and friends of the United States.
And we're also involved with them in their oil business, and that's always been very important from their standpoint and from our standpoint. So we have a lot of very positive things to talk about, but we are down to a low number. And we've been there for quite a while, so we'll make a determination. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you,
President. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Are you been listening to President Donald Trump speaking alongside the president of Iraq at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland? The president says they're having discussions on the military as well as the fight against Islamic State. The president was asked whether he is still considering sanctions against Iraq, with the parliament there voting to remove U.S. troops from Iraq. The president is continuing to speak now. Let's take you back now to Davos.
Pretty good, I'll tell you.
And you have ordered me one or two.
Again, President Trump speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, alongside the president of Iraq. We'll continue to bring you updates from Davos as we get them here on Bloomberg Radio. Right now, it is 5:37 on Wall Street. Let's get a check of the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. The captain is in the hall. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the story is well known, how Derek Jeter grew up dreaming of playing shortstop for the Yankees. He ended up a true Yankee legend and now a Hall of Famer.
You think about the Steinbrenner family, get the opportunity to live out my dream of playing for the New York Yankees, and not only playing for them, but having the opportunity to play 20 years at the major league level with this organization. You know, I've been blessed to play a long career, play on some great teams, have a lot of support, and we had a lot of success as well.
Five World Championships. Jeter was a 14-time All-Star. Only five players had more career hits. He's not going in unanimously, something no player had done until Mariano Rivera last year. One, as of now, unknown writer left him off the ballot. Larry Walker is going in as well, but he's not getting
top billing.
I was thinking about it, that as great as Derek is, I'm kind of going to be like that. Remember those old 45s we used to listen to, and they had the song on the A side, the song on the B side you really didn't know about? I'm the B side.
Walker on MLB Network. He got in his final year of eligibility. Islanders and Rangers at the Garden, third meeting in 9 days. Rangers won the first two, but this one to the Isles, 4-2. St. John's lost at Marquette, 82-68. A wild brawl broke out at the end of the Kansas State game. Seven-time Australian Open champ Novak Djokovic, easy win in the second round. Two additions to the staff of new Giants coach Joe Judge: Freddie Kitchens, fired after one season as the head coach in Cleveland, and Brett Bielema, former Wisconsin and Arkansas coach who was with Judge in New England. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Nathan. This month, the New Jersey State Legislature passed a measure which, if signed by the governor, would result in sweeping changes to what was once a mass layoff notification statute. It would make New Jersey the first state to require severance for layoffs of 50 or more people within a 30-day period. You can add Price Chopper to the list of supermarkets that will soon charge a nickel for paper bags at the checkout aisle. The Schenectady-based chain with grocery stores across the Mid-Hudson Valley and most of upstate New York says it'll charge a nickel if customers want paper bags when a ban on plastic takes effect March 1st. A judge has sided with Stratford Public Works employees in a lawsuit alleging the town shortchanged them on calculating their pension benefits. The 18-page decision from Judge Thomas Welch was handed down this month. Officials say they don't know yet how much the case could cost the town. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury. Nathan?
All right, thank you, Ed. It is 5:40 on Wall Street. S&P futures are higher by 13 points now. Dow futures up 96. NASDAQ futures gain of almost 62 points, pointing to a higher open on Wall Street this morning. As China is taking steps to contain the spread of the deadly coronavirus that has been rattling markets around the world. 10-year Treasury yield 1.77%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are climbing as China takes steps to contain the spread of a deadly virus that had rattled international markets. While European stocks are raced in advance amid some mixed corporate earnings. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 89. NASDAQ futures up 58. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 1.77%. And the yield on the two-year, 1.52%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 42 cents at $57.96 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.58.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1090 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.3064. And the yen is at 109.97. And today we're watching for a report on existing home sales at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, after a marathon session for senators at President Trump's impeachment trial, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's resolutions passed along party lines, but it was not a total loss for House Democrats trying to get some rule changes. McConnell allowed giving 3 days of opening statements and allowing the existing evidence. Chinese health authorities are urging people in the city of Wuhan to avoid crowds and public gatherings after warning that a new viral illness caused at least 9 deaths and could spread further. The Chinese health officials say 440 cases are confirmed of the coronavirus. Derek Jeter and Colorado's Larry Walker were voted into baseball's Hall of Fame. Jeter, the longtime captain of the New York Yankees, missed a unanimous vote by just one. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers. The Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It is 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist Andreas Kluth joins us from our Berlin bureau this morning with a look at how China has responded to the coronavirus, as it's now blamed for at least 9 deaths and has spread well outside China's borders. Good morning, Andreas. Obviously, this health crisis has caused a lot of concern in the markets. A bit of relief this morning on the response that China has taken now to try to contain the outbreak. Is it enough of a response?
Well, that remains to be seen. China certainly seems to have learned a lot from the SARS crisis in 2003. And I happened to be in Hong Kong at that time covering that that crisis and the response against it. And one of the lessons China has, I hope, learned, but we can't be sure yet, is at that time they were afraid of turmoil, economic loss, and they kept a lot of the information secret. They weren't forthcoming or transparent, and that led to rumors and distrust. And it was very hard to manage the crisis after. And that's the one of the lessons that they seem to have learned, is be ruthlessly honest with your own population and the world community of scientists, and just put all the numbers, all the information out there.
Do you see any other lessons learned from the SARS outbreak compared to now?
Several. I think the biggest one is the world has to think of this as the world, as Homo sapiens, as people. In other words, not as nations. So you don't deal with a pandemic, which this is not, but it could become one. You don't deal with epidemics or pandemics as America first, China first. No, you share the information you have because it's an arms race and a race to find the next vaccine or the cure and the response. So if you sequence the genome, for instance, you like open source software code, you put that out there. You give that to scientists all over the world so that everyone can work on it together. That's one other lesson.
That raises a very important question as to whether we can get that kind of international response, given the protectionist feeling that seems to be pervading global politics right now.
You're absolutely right. And in that sense, and it's, by the way, it's the same with climate change, nuclear proliferation. It's not the only problem of its kind. There's a lot of problems, I would say, are the biggest problems we have, are problems we can only solve multilaterally, as the ugly word has it, and not through the prism of nationalism. And actually, that's the silver lining in this, is it reminds us of that. Because in Hong Kong, with SARS in 2003, eventually we did get on top of it, and it was just a shot across the bow. It wasn't the big one. It wasn't the pandemic. And for a while after, I think people realized, okay, we've got to get our act together in that subject matter. But it's the same in other subjects, as I just climate change or trade or whatever. Let's get around the table. So maybe this is a useful reminder to think less in nationalist terms and more in globalist or whatever you want to call it terms.
Do multilateral groups like the World Health Organization still have the clout to wrap their arms around an issue like this?
Well, I don't know, but we don't have any choice. I mean, what else are you going to put up in its stead? Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to be there speaking for the world. And then, of course, the network of scientists, laboratories, doctors underneath it will do it as well.
What role does business have to play in alleviating an issue like this? What can corporates do to protect their employees?
Corporates, I mean, if you're thinking about the pharmaceutical industry, that's, you know, in the hunt for the vaccine, let's say, that's, of course, one area. But I think at a bigger level, corporates can do what my company at that time did when I was in Hong Kong, to use that example again, is everyone should encourage or give employees to understand that it's okay, it's in fact smart and good to work from home if you can. No, not a raised eyebrow, not like, okay, I get it, where, you know, but use Skype, don't go to the office, don't infect people. As long as you have essentially this kind of soft quarantine that is voluntary, people still act out of their volition, they have a sense of what's called agency, and they're going to be more cooperative, and they're going to be more trusting, and they're going to keep calmer. I mean, if you're going to force everything to go on as normal until it comes time for a mandatory quarantine, that's in a sense, it's already too late.
Bloomberg Opinion columnist Andreas Kluth joining us from Berlin this morning. Thank you, Andreas. Good to have you on. You can read his column. It's called How We Should Prepare for the Next Pandemic and more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Florida Panthers are facing a proposed class action lawsuit. The National Hockey League team is accused of violating the Telephone Consumer Protection Act by sending spam marketing text messages. The National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences was hit with an EEOC discrimination charge by the organization's former CEO and president. Deborah Dugan says she faced retaliation for raising concerns about diversity and other issues. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to legalize and tax recreational marijuana to help close a state budget gap.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now the big legal story we're following, the impeachment trial of President Trump. Chief Justice John Roberts is presiding over the proceedings. Prior to this, he's made relatively few public appearances, including the three times he administered the oath of office at a presidential inauguration. For more on Roberts' role in the trial, Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaks with Case Western Reserve University School of Law professor John Adler and South Texas College of Law professor Josh Blackman.
Jonathan Adler, what do you think he's thinking during all this? What do you think his attitude about this entire impeachment proceeding is?
Well, I can imagine that there are plenty of other places he would rather be. I think, you know, he is generally very focused on the work of the court and trying to take actions that he believes help maintain the court's legitimacy, and being thrust into the middle of a very tribal and very partisan conflict like impeachment is certainly not something that I think he would prefer to be doing.
Josh, how much of a presence do you think John Roberts will be during this trial? Is he more likely to kind of lie low and let the members of Congress and the administration lawyers run the show, or do you see him likely to make some significant decisions up there?
In the past, Chief Justice Roberts has commented on the State of the Union process, where the justices go to Congress and sit there like potted plants. I think his role will be greater than a potted plant, but not by much. So far, all Roberts has done is administer oaths and allow the other parties to make arguments and allow some votes to be held. I can't imagine Chief Justice Roberts will actually make any substantive or significant rulings. In the unlikely event that the vote ties, that is 50-50, I think there's an argument that Roberts may actually have to split the tie. I don't know that it'll come to that. I don't think McConnell would let it come to that. But I think it's unlikely that Roberts does anything of substance. He will sit there, smile, and let everyone else run the show around him. Chief Justice Rehnquist said about his impeachment duties, "I did nothing at all, and he did it very well." I think Roberts will do much the same.
And that's Case Western Reserve University School of Law Professor Jonathan Adler and South Texas College of Law Professor Josh Blackman speaking with Bloomberg's Greg Storr. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues this on a day when futures are moving higher. S&P futures up about 13 points, Dow futures up 85, and NASDAQ futures up 57. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.76%. And this is Bloomberg.